the person who I am right now and the person who's always on, you know, who's always talking to you guys and on this show, like, I used to not really be able to be that person because I hated stuttering and was afraid of stuttering so much. So sometimes, like, I feel like I had to kind of, like, pretend to be okay with stuttering, even though I wasn't. And eventually, it just became who I was. So I think if I'm sort of fake it and pretend that, like, right now that this kind of feels normal to sort of be semi-exaggeratingly using some sort of strategy, which, again, like, I just don't do often. I think that if I, you know, sort of get out of my comfort zone and kind of, you know, almost am this character, then maybe it can become more of who I am. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stutter Talk. And we are all here to talk about stuttering today. Let's see. If you want to contact Stutter Talk, you can write to stuttertalk@stuttertalk.com. If you want to contact the B-Team specifically, it's bteam@stuttertalk.com. And the B-Team is comprised of myself, Joel Cordy, and Karen Herring.
Hey, guys.
And Roisin McManus.
Hey, everyone.
And, yeah, we're going to be talking about stuttering today, as usual. There is also, if you want to leave us a voicemail, there is a tab on the new website that says leave voicemail, and you can do that there. So anyway, we were just kind of talking briefly before we started recording, and we all kind of have something on our mind that we wanted to talk about. So I'm just kind of going to go around the table, so to speak, and sort of check in with what's on everybody's minds, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who wants to go first? I think Karen should go first.
Okay. I don't even know how to really start this. Let's see. I guess. All right. A lot of what's been going on is advertising has been kind of a big part of my stuttering journey, so to say, the past few years. And it's been kind of, it's been like very important to me in the sense that it makes me feel so much more comfortable to let other people know that I stutter.
Yep.
And it's kind of gotten to a point where it's less necessary for me. Like, it doesn't help me as much because I already feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting to this kind of this weird place where I don't really want to advertise just because I don't feel like it's necessary. But the people that I'm talking to are kind of confused.
Oh, okay.
And it's like I can't decide if it's worth me doing for them or if advertising really should be more about me. And it's particularly sort of become a challenge. Some of the clients that I see, particularly the young clients that I'm talking more to their parents, I can sort of see it on their face that they're a little bit confused. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not sure why I'm talking this way. And it almost seems like they might need it spelled out for them. It also, sometimes I know the parents are so concerned about their kids and the fact that they're stuttering that I don't know. It's like an extra alarming for them that I'm stuttering too. But I don't know. Advertising's always kind of been like a personal thing to help me. And I don't really know how to make it about anyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would imagine that, like, that because now the therapy that you're doing isn't about you, it's like a different, I mean, like, you might have to approach it differently.
Yeah.
Then you have approached stuttering in the past when, like, the communication was just about you communicating yourself.
Does that ever happen to you, your routine at work? Like, you feel like you need to advertise for, like, the patient or the patient's family's benefit more than yours?
Yeah.
How do you usually, like, go about that? Like, I feel like the spiel that I have makes me feel more comfortable, but I don't even know how to bring it up so it's clear to them.
Yeah. The first thing is that I think that for me, it's sometimes hard to recognize that it has to be done, because I'm so used to kind of gauging my stuttering experience by how comfortable I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And if I feel comfortable, I'm usually like, this is great for, like, all involved.
Yeah.
But, and it takes me a bit of time to recognize that the other person, even though I feel like I'm communicating effectively and I'm comfortable and I'm confident, that like you said, the other person just, like, is a little confused. So that definitely takes me some time to recognize that, but it seems like you do that relatively quickly. So I usually just say, just so you know, I stutter. And if you have any, like, if you can't understand me, or I'm speaking too fast, or you have any questions about it, just ask me. But, I mean, it's a little more complicated because you're working with kids. I mean, you have to, like, give it a little bit more time and sort of focus on the stuttering part more, because you're actually working with kids who stutter.
I know. And I haven't, like, perfected it yet. And it's also hard, like, you were saying that, well, I guess I said that I tend to know when they're confused. But I also feel like sometimes it's in my head. Like, sometimes it's not in my head and they actually are confused or wondering what's going on. Mm-hmm. But I also think sometimes I like to put words in other people's mouths.
Yeah.
And, like, one look and I'm like, oh, they think I'm nuts, or they think that I can't treat their kid, or they think this, that they think that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that like, there's already an amount of, when they're going to a therapist who's taking care of their kid and the therapist is speaking with them, parents probably, at least at first, like, always have this kind of confused, concerned look on their face regardless of everything, just because, like, it's kind of a difficult situation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. But like, you should, I don't know. That's hard.
Do you think it would help?
Have you talked to
sorry, I interrupted you.
Go ahead.
Do you think it would help if you self-advertised, Karen? Like, their understanding of what this situation is?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. It's like, it's kind of something that I feel like I have to do for them, even though it's not something that, like, I would really choose to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I also, I have a very hard time, like, phrasing it, like, particularly in these situations, because I want to put it out there, but I also, like, somehow want to make sure that it's clear that I can still treat their kid.
Yeah. But, I mean, ultimately, they're – they're going to have to make that decision, and they should be aware that you stutter, and they should be psyched about it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Does this ever affect you, Joel? I mean, at your workplace, like that you feel like you have to let other people know for them?
I just don't do very much talking at work. I'm sure that if I was in a position like you, it would be something I would struggle with. I'm just trying to think if... I mean, I know there's been times where I've felt like it would probably be helpful for me to sort of, you know, do some self-advertisement or disclosing just to help someone understand. But I'm just, I know that in that situation, it's not something that I need. So right. I can totally relate to you. I'm just sort of wondering aloud if there's more value in just doing it anyway, because it might actually, you know, then that the parents might have some questions that will lead to more understanding, and it'll be there'll be more of an opportunity for educating, you know? So then if there's a big pull there to, you know, to help get the parents on board and help to get buy-in from them, then, you know, that's a really positive thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and something just came to mind listening to Joel, that a lot of what you have to offer the client from your experience as a person who stutters, in terms of support groups and different ways to kind of feel okay about stuttering, and like the parent would also really benefit from having access to all of that information also.
Yeah. It's sometimes just so hard to sometimes it's so hard to balance like how much you should share about yourself when you're like not talking about yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're talking about their kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like, I mean, this is what I'm going through, but I feel like you can relate it to lots of jobs. Like, you're supposed to be doing a specific job or focusing on the client. And I just, like, it's hard to know when it's always appropriate and necessary to talk about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like that's really complicated though, because like a therapeutic relationship, as you both know, it isn't just focusing on the other person. It's like an interaction and like, sort of like being, having your whole self present, and so much of yourself is like your experience stuttering.
That's true.
And it just happens that will also really improve the therapy. But you're right though. I mean, you can't be like referring to your experience, but I don't know.
I feel like the worst case scenario that could happen is if, I don't know if this has happened. I don't, it probably hasn't, but like if the parents came in and they're just like, oh, you know, this speech therapist stutters and I don't like that. And we're not going to have our child see Karen any longer without there ever being a dialogue. I mean, ultimately, you know, there's parents are going to make their own decisions and whatever, but it would just, you know, it would be unfortunate if there was never an opportunity for that expanded understanding and a dialogue, if there could have been.
Right. Yeah. And I think that if I don't say anything, then maybe I'm not giving the opportunity for that dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Because it is kind of like, I think it is kind of on you to bring it up.
I know, which I don't like.
I mean,
which it would be on somebody else.
You know, because just if they're just like, so, you know, you stutter, you know, it's just, it's tougher for them to bring it up, you know?
I know. But I don't want to do it, Joel.
Why not?
I don't know. I just don't.
Too personal.
I'm just surprised because, yeah. Karen, I feel like you're someone who, like, advertises all the time.
I know, so but this easy. Just isn't the same. Like, I don't know. I feel like when I advertise, it's like I can do whatever I want because it's about me. And I don't know. I feel like in this way, it's like I'm partly still trying to sell myself because it's sort of like the first interaction that I have. So like the way I portray myself is so much more important.
It should be part of the sales pitch, though, I think. If you're talking about selling.
I know, but I don't know how to sell it.
Part of the sales
pitch. I don't know how.
Well, this, you know, I happen to stutter. It's something I'm really passionate about. It's been a large part of my life, and I'm always trying to learn more about it, and always trying to learn more about myself and as well as others' experience, so I can provide the best therapy possible. Something That's like that.
Perfect. Yeah, maybe you should just talk to the patients before me and say that all.
But don't you think though that. I don't know. I just always try as much as possible. It's hard sometimes, but that to try to put yourself in other people's shoes. If you're a parent and you're ignorant of stuttering, yeah, like it could be weird if you brought your kid to a therapist and then they started stuttering. But I don't, most people, if they had a little time to think about it and time to see you and talk to you. I'm sure, honestly, Karen, people probably, even if you haven't brought it up with them, they've probably had their minds changed just by talking to you and interacting with you. You know, even though it's not explicitly talked about. I mean, it could be helpful if you guys did explicitly talk about it, but even if it's not, I'm positive that parents have completely changed their outlook on what stuttering is just by talking to you and hearing you stutter.
Thanks, Joel.
Well, it's no doubt, you know, that's reality. So do you think that, what do you think you're going to do, or what do you think?
I don't think I have a choice. I think I need to explicitly bring it up, even if it makes me uncomfortable.
I kind of agree. I mean, I think you made some really good points about self-advertising. It's sort of intrinsically about you and it's personal and stuff, but I just think there's too many advantages for building trust and stuff with parents and educating them, that it'd just be a shame not to talk about it if you feel like you need to, you know?
Yeah. And I think you made a lot of good points, Joel. I don't think that the parent should have to feel like they need to bring it up. They need to know that I'm kind of an open book if they have cool questions or want to talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if I'm not the one that brings it up, they're not going to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, because they could just be already naturally programmed to think like, oh, we can't talk about it. It's a secret, you know.
Yeah.
You know that whole song and dance.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks, guys. I had my therapy session for today.
Good. Well, I've got something I'm going to try to make it quick. Maybe it can be kind of an ongoing thing you guys can ask me about when we do our next show. But I've kind of been developing this concept where let me preface it by saying that I feel like for me recently in my life, I've kind of been the person I am is that I'm a person who stutters. I'm a person who is not ashamed of stuttering, who will stutter in pretty much any situation and be more or less okay with it. And that used to not be who I was. I used to kind of like have to really try to be that person before it came naturally to me. And I don't know. I was thinking a lot about how like I really rarely ever use speaking strategies, or I'm just going to go ahead and call them speech tools for this, for what I'm trying to explain, even though I know that's kind of like, been kind of, I don't know, I've always felt like with us and like our circle, it's been just kind of like a stupid term. Like, it's like speech tools are dumb, you know, kind of thing. But I don't know, I guess lately I didn't even really think about it doing it, but especially I noticed when I'm on the phone for work, I'll think, and I don't think I ever actually coined it as like I'm going to be quote unquote speech tool guy right now, but when I was like thinking about it in the past, I was like, oh, like I was kind of like speech tool guy back then during that phone call. And like basically I kind of like set up some rules for this character where the speech tool guy is, there's three rules: is never ashamed of stuttering. He reserves the right to stutter as frequently and with as much duration as necessary. But the other thing about speech tool guys, and this is, I mean, I've kind of like, I've felt like I've tried this in the last few years, but it's never really been ingrained in me. But that speech tool guy is never ashamed to use speech tools or strategies like voluntary stuttering or prolongations. Really prolongations or like the more like fluency centric sort of strategies or pausing or whatever. And then the last one is that speech tool guy is never ashamed of being fluent, which I think also, and just for the record, I'm kind of trying to be speech tool guy right now.
I am obsessed with this whole thing.
Really? But
this
I do
is
have
the
some
coolest thing ever.
I do have some caveats.
Bob the Builder.
I think that I don't know. For me, like this is just something that like I've had to like. Okay, here's like my main caveat. I think for me, this is like something that I have just like needed to. It's not a new concept, obviously, or I mean, it's kind of idiosyncratic or whatever, but it's. I think like for me with a lot of things, like I just feel like I need to come up with it, and it's my thing. Because I noticed, and this is just very slight, but I was explaining it to Kelly like a week or two ago. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, that's cool. And she's like, so are you going to, you know, going to like use speech tool guy like a lot then? And like it kind of it like for some reason there's like that like sort of like thing, deep seated thing where like someone telling you, she wasn't telling me to use speech tools, but like the thought that like someone could be telling you like, oh, like you're really struggling, like you should use your tools. Like if it gets there at all, like if it even approaches that area, it's like totally worthless and sucks for some reason. It's just that whole thing about like other people telling or insinuating that you need to do something, like, and especially that term speech tools is just like such a like bad, like really negative memory for me. So it kind of, when we had that conversation, even though she didn't say like use speech tools, she just was asking me like if I was going to be dispatching speech tool guy, as I was explaining, like more often, because I was just like trying to do it in certain situations, but it just kind of brought me back. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, this isn't like, for example, if you were working with a client and you're like, hey, like this speech tool guy, you know, and like speech tool guy does all this stuff, and then like they were stuttering a lot, and they were like, hey, let's use speech tool guy, like that wouldn't be good, you know.
But there, well, one of the things that speech tool guy does, like one of the first rules was that like this utters can take as long and as much effort that they need.
That is true. That is the most important rule of speech tool guy.
I think. It's like kind of up to speech tool guy what he wants to do.
Do you think speech tool guy is a good name?
I freaking love it.
Okay.
Like, I am going to use this with my clients ASAP.
But then the thing, I don't know, like, I felt like, you know, it's sometimes I feel like, well, speech tools, some speech strategies sound weird too. All of them do sometimes. So to be like, well, let's put not being ashamed of using speech tools or speech strategies on that same level,
you know?
And then it kind of like brings back some power. It's like, oh yeah, like I can do lots of stuff. I don't have to do stuff one way or the other. I don't have to do anything. I can do what I want. I mean, the most important thing, and of course the last one is that you're not ashamed of being fluent, you know, which we've talked about before. It's kind of a weird thing, but that, you know, the main idea is that speech tool guy is not worried if he sounds weird sometimes. So it's whether it be stuttering or using strategies or whatever, speech tool guy is mainly just concerned with speaking as comfortably and easily as is possible for him or her. It should be speech tool person, right? In that okay.
But yeah, I feel like that doesn't roll off the tongue as well. I do think it can be like speech tool gal.
Yeah.
Or speech tool, you know.
There's no way in hell I'm ever waking up and being like, today I'm going to be speech tool gal.
Oh, I completely am.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, you're almost making a joke out of it. And I think that would help me too.
I just love the idea that sometimes at work you like turn into a superhero.
Well, I think another we talk. Well, is it a superhero?
Oh yeah.
I was like, whoa, superhero. I was thinking more like a cartoon.
I mean, I remember one time I had a meeting with a professor, and I thought beforehand, I'm like, I'm just gonna like really lay it on thick with the, you know, prolongations and speech tools and just really just make it look like I'm just really, you know, just pulling rabbits out of hats and like really just, you know, just doing tools left and right, like, you know, just really managing the hell out of my stuttering, you know. but then after it was over, it was weird because I was like, actually, like, found it to be helpful. Like, to even it was, I didn't really feel like myself. You know, I felt like I was like this speech tool guy. But then I was like, well, let's play around with this a little bit. Let's, you know, see, you know, maybe I can get to a place where speech tool guy, like, I'm not having to like lay it on thick and be this weird character. It's just like I'm more adept at managing my stuttering, and it's not like a weird, silly thing, even though it felt weird and silly at first.
I think it's really a cool idea. I also think it can be really cool for, like, younger kids, in the sense that, like, it's almost like they have a friend that does this too.
It kind of has,
like,
felt like
sometimes
that.
Sometimes they work on their speech, and sometimes they just let this utters come out, and speech tool guy does too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's okay. And speech tool guy isn't there to judge you.
Yeah.
He's just there to, he's there, you know?
I love that.
That was a great tone of voice.
I'm gonna have to actually listen to the show. So as you talk, I can like write down what speech tool guy does.
The only thing there's a worry, like it can't, I would just hate to hear like a therapist, you know, if they heard this show and then a kid was really struggling, it's, hey, use your speech tool guy. Like, that would suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, Joel, that it seems like it's really helpful because it's something that,
for me,
you defined.
Exactly. I'm not sure. Yeah, because I made it up and like it. So like, I feel like it's on my terms, but I can just see it being a disaster, you know? So in a way, like, not for you, Karen, because you're a good therapist and, like, you're, you know, you really, like, everything that I mean, I feel like you and I, on pretty much everything, we're, like, on the same page about.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know.
No, I mean, I think that's true for no matter what a speech therapist is using, it's a fine line to have a child practicing speech tools and giving the idea to the kid that you want them to use them and you prefer it when they use them.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
I mean, I think that's a fine line no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm. There could be a very fine line between love and hate of speech tool guy.
Yeah.
It's like there's like you know, some kind of image of speech tool guy. I'm thinking like a smiley face guy with like some, you know, like a hammer and a wrench, and then
yeah, he's a cartoon character.
You come back in the kid's room and he's all ripped up.
I think one of the cool ideas of speech tool guy is it's his choice what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Like he can decide if he wants to use speech tools or if he does not.
Yeah, and I think
you're really making me hate speech tool guy right now.
I freaking love him.
But I think you hit the nail on the head though, because kids are so intuitive. Like they're gonna be like, oh, clearly mom prefers prefers a speech tool guy. You know? I'm no dummy. I don't know. I mean, I think I've been, you know, there's been iterations of speech tool guy that has been coming but it's the first time I've really like labeled it and try to flesh it out. So I think I want to like really try and explore it though. So Hopefully we can talk about it again.
Question, though, because, I mean, I can totally understand the kind of relief and excitement of, like, having this character that, like, takes over.
Yeah.
You're
going to make a really good point right now, I can tell. You're going to make a really good point right now, I can tell. Sorry, go ahead.
But how long do you think, like, that the relief from taking on this, like, kind of alter ego can last?
Probably not very long. I don't know. The thing that I've been thinking about, which kind of, you know, was the catalyst, I guess, is that the person who I am right now and the person who's always on, you know, who's always talking to you guys and on this show, like, I used to not really be able to be that person because I hated stuttering and was afraid of stuttering so much. So sometimes, like, I feel like I had to kind of, like, pretend to be okay with stuttering, even though I wasn't. And eventually it just became who I was. So I think if I'm sort of fake it and pretend that, like, right now that this kind of feels normal to sort of be semi-exaggeratingly using some sort of strategy, which, again, like, I just don't do often. I think that if I, you know, sort of get out of my comfort zone and kind of, you know, almost am this character, then maybe it can become more of who I am. And it's not like I want to change myself, really. It's just that I'm trying to figure out how to speak as easy and comfortably as is possible for me, you know. And I guess this is,
I suppose that like we all do that in various ways. I mean, like, taking on this kind of effort to work out or effort to be, like, a kinder person, and we kind of try on these different moods and techniques all the time.
Yeah, and sometimes they stick, and then sometimes, like when I try to do P90X, and I did it for 20 days, you know. Although anybody that does P90X knows they're not going to be doing it forever. That's why it's P90X.
Yeah. But that's a really interesting thing, though, Joel. It's like a, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
I noticed that I've been thinking about it a lot, you know, and, like, even, like, this weekend, I just, with my friends, most of my friends, I just don't care, you know, and I just stutter. Sometimes I'll stutter so much and I just don't really care, you know. And then, but, you know, I was kind of trying, I'm like, oh, yeah, speech tool guy. But, you know, at that point, I think, you know, it was Saturday night and had been out for a while, so I didn't remember quite as well. Anyway.
Guy, where are you? I need you.
Yeah, speech tool guy.
Home in bed resting.
Yeah, probably. To Roisin. Sorry, I talked for a little bit longer than I thought.
Oh, no, it's okay. Well, I mean, my kind of update is brief. And I can't really tie it into any of that, unfortunately. though I briefly tried. Most people know, there's a big storm in the city about a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of, in terms of my job, I'm the place that I work was, like, partially destroyed and is closed now. And just, like, a lot of big changes that happened all over the city, and a lot of chaos and like unknown. And almost immediately after the storm, I started to have a lot more trouble speaking. And I guess that's just been a long time since I was reminded how much stress level and stuttering coexist. Not coexist, but are closely related. And I guess I just kind of wanted to bring it up to like ask you guys if like in times when you're feeling like helpless or anxious for reasons not related to stuttering, does it manifest in your stuttering? This could probably be a whole show. I probably shouldn't be bringing it up at the end of the show, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think, I mean, not to get like too heavy, but this is the extreme example, but like when my brother died, it was just like, that's when I feel like I hit, you know, sometimes we talk about this concept, quote unquote, rock bottom, you know, where you just, I felt like whatever I was doing to sort of hold together my speaking or my stuttering just sort of like, I just couldn't, it just manifested itself to my stuttering.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it just felt like I didn't have energy anymore to focus on holding myself to get together almost, because I was just so still am, but it's improving, but like was just so focused on all of these things that were happening outside of my control, which is kind of, I would imagine, I mean, like what happened to your brother was just so out of your control, but it affected you probably so much.
Yeah.
Then I don't know. It just like felt like the ground kind of sort of fell out from beneath me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just like, so how can I possibly handle stuttering right now?
Yeah.
And then at that point, it's almost like a chain reaction. Like, yeah. Because yeah. Then you're having a difficult time managing uttering, like the stress, and builds from that, and then you're having even a harder time.
Yeah
that is kind of like a, especially with stuttering, it's kind of a domino thing in some ways. Because it stuttering sometimes can lend itself to more stress, and well, not sometimes, like a lot of times it can.
Yeah. And like kind of like chaos, or like the feeling of chaos, or like being shaken up because you're just having so much trouble speaking.
Yeah.
So that's it for me.
I didn't know, Roisin, that you, that your area of the hospital is still closed.
Yeah. I mean, the hospital basically had 13 feet of water in it.
Wow. Holy smokes! I had no idea. Are you going to work in like a different hospital?
So they're training us right now to kind of take over floor in another hospital, because NYU probably isn't going to be open until January.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Yeah. So I've been doing some, I mean, right after the storm, it was just like incredible feelings of just like helplessness because people were in so much need, but there was no like organized way to find out where to go. Because like power was down, internet was down, like blah, blah, blah. I've done like some work in the outer boroughs of Queens, where the destruction is like really bad. The storm, this is like a whole different thing, but the storm is just so weird because like in Brooklyn, where we are, Karen, it's like totally normal and fine.
Yeah.
And it was the whole time. And then the day after the storm, but a couple of days after, like going into Manhattan to like Bellevue to help out. And it was like a total different situation. It was like the energy was dying in the hospital. The National Guard was there. Like there was no power anywhere. It was just complete like chaos.
Yeah.
And then watching on the news, like 100 homes burned to the ground. It was just like so, like just like completely rattling. And then coming back to Brooklyn, where everything was totally fine. It was just so strange. Yeah.
I mean, it's really no surprise that this had an effect on your speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Just you talking right there kind of like put it into perspective again for me. Because I kind of like, I mean, obviously I have a lot, you know, I know people, I know you guys and people in New York, and I was thinking about it a lot, but it's, I mean, just to think like your place of work was completely flooded, you know, and now it's like, okay, you know,
I do.
Yeah. And then, you know, this other destruction you're referring to, it was nuts.
Crazy. Yeah.
It is nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so,
this is a great, great, great way to end.
So, yeah. That
on
note.
A happy note.
So, you said you're working in Manhattan now?
I'm, we've basically been kind of shuttling between a couple of different hospitals, because what happened was that NYU evacuated, Bellevue evacuated, and the VA evacuated. So all the patients that were in Lower Manhattan basically just kind of were spread out.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of hospitals are really stretched thin. So we're kind of just going into a couple different hospitals wherever there is a need as of now. So
it's pretty stressful. That must be too, like having to learn the ropes of a brand new place.
Oh, I mean, yeah. And that's another thing. Like, I had to, like, go through. I went to one hospital last week, and I was the only NYU nurse on the floor.
Oh, wow.
I had to, like, go through all of it, like, the advertising process.
Oh,
and,
geez.
Like, you know,
like, staff again, and it was like, oh, my God.
It was like you're not really prepared for that. Like, I'm sure when you started working, you know, where you were working, it's like, okay, yeah, you know, I'm going to have to do some educating, you know, do some advertising. And now it's like, you're dealing with all this stuff related to the storm. And then also it's like, oh, hey, everybody, I stutter, blah, blah, blah.
Like where are the IV lines? Like I stutter, like, am
it's not caused by nervousness, but can be exacerbated by it.
It's disorder varies. Like,
Hashtag
no.
Disorder varies.
It's disorder.
Hashtag Queasel.
We had to squeeze it in. But in the end, obviously the theme is this disorder varies.
Yeah.
I feel like we need radio stations have, you know, sound effects. If we all had like could push buttons, so like it was like someone's voice going, "The disorder varies." You know, we could just like push it whenever we wanted. I think that would make the show more entertaining.
Great. Yeah. we have to work on that.
Yeah, yeah,
like that was easy, but buttons from staples.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just
have
our own.
Well, I don't know. I listen to this sports radio station at home, and they do that stuff all the time. We're like, they'll be interviewing the guy, and they'll just like say his name. So if we had a button that was just like Queasel, you know, like. Because that's what they do on this thing, and for some reason it's like, I don't know, it's funny, it's I don't know. So that anytime that, you know, that felt like a necessary thing, we could just push the button.
That's funny.
We push it like 1,000 times a show. That'd be bad.
Oh my god. Well, as always, it ended on a very positive, funny note, actually.
Good.
So that's good.
Well, it was fun talking to you guys tonight. It felt like there was a lot of good stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, until next time, team.
Sounds good.
And listeners, if you're still listening, write us an email or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, please do.
All right. Talk to you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.